My name is Brian Thompson. I'm the pastor at Westminster Bible Chapel. As you may know, your church is part of a group of seven churches where the pastors are praying together on a regular basis and have developed a close relationship. Pastor Yo from your church and Pastor Dan are part of that group, and so am I. So Pastor Yo and myself did a pulpit exchange today. He's preaching at WBC this morning, and I'm here with you. In case you were wondering, that's why I'm here. Who thinks I have an accent? Now that's very strange. Because back in South Africa, no one would think I have an accent. They would think that you guys have accents. You know, when I started working as a pastor in Vancouver, many people couldn't understand me. It's crazy, I know. But they were struggling. And after I'd been at the church for 6 months, an older lady came and she called me aside. She confided in me. She said, you know, when you first came, I could understand about 50% of what you were saying. She says, but now I can understand almost everything you say. So if you're hearing me today for the first time and you can only understand 50%, I hope it's the good parts. And I hope you don't hear any of the bad stuff. How many of you have seen or know about the movie called The Truman Show? Okay. The Truman Show is a show about a man that is living in a community that is artificial. It's a one big movie set. And if we see in the slides back there how they've built all the houses, they are beautiful, they are almost picture perfect. And the question that is asked, this movie was made in the 1990s, it was kind of prophetic for the people who think about reality television today. But the question that lurks below all of this is this: how would you be a human being living in a perfect community? What would your life look like? If you can imagine a community filled with shalom, with love, peace, and beauty all around you, and everything and everyone working together in perfect harmony, would your life look like this? Jim Carrey, who plays the lead role, is the only person in that whole community who doesn't know that it's all a big setup. Everything is fake. Even the people who speak to him have lines that they need to say to him. But he's living reality amongst these folks. And people all around United States would tune in on their TVs to see what Jim Carrey would do, how he would react, what his life would look like living in this perfect scenario. Many people would say, the only way we can create a perfect place for us to live is to have lots of laws that would govern our society. And these laws will be backed up with a police force to enforce them. Because we can't trust people. The bottom line is that we are too well aware of the waywardness of the human beings. So the only way we can achieve this is by having all these laws and then controlling people in such a way that they would live peacefully with each other. One of the books that is prescribed reading in many schools around the world is William Golding's Lord of the Flies. It's a very interesting book because it tells about a group of British middle school children who get stranded on a deserted island. No adults. No laws. And the question becomes, what are they going to do? How are they going to react to that situation? Are they going to take hands and work together, encourage each other, and build a beautiful community, idyllic on the island, while they wait for rescue? Or maybe not. Now, if you've read the book, you will know what happens. How these British boys started losing the veneer of civility. How their society turned into anarchy. It seems that this is one of the lessons that we have learned from history, that people need to be controlled if we want to live in a peaceful society, that if there are no laws, people become lawless and society breaks down. Now you might be asking, are these the only two options we have? Either we live with lots of laws, or we become lawless. Is there no third option? Well, the Apostle Paul would argue that there is a third option. The third option between living under law or living lawlessly is to live by the Spirit. So let us turn to the Word of the Lord and let us read from Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading from verses 13 to 23 in the ESV. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, who could bring out these deep truths about your kingdom and about your love for us and about your Holy Spirit that you gave to us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts, and that through your Holy Spirit you would speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would do in us what you have purposed to do, so that your name be glorified. And I pray that you would help me be a part of that. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Apostle Paul writes his letter to the Galatians, the church in Galatia, as you may know, was a church from Gentiles, people who were not Jewish and did not have a Jewish background, did not live under the law, but they put their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ. And they were trying to figure out, what does this mean to live by faith? And people from the Jewish community, the Judaizers, came and they told them, if you want to be followers of Yahweh and Jesus, you need to follow the law that we have followed for 1500 years, the Torah. As Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians, he's helping them understand that if they go and try and follow Torah like the Jews did, it'll be a big mistake. If you're someone who's taking notes, the other 3 points for the sermon, you can write this down. The first one is the problem with life in the flesh. The second one is the solution of living by the law. And the third one is the superior solution of living by the Spirit. Well, let's start with the first one. The problem with life in the flesh. When Paul writes about life in the flesh, he's not talking about this body that we have. This body of flesh is something that we will always live with. And this body is a beautiful thing, created by God. And when Jesus became incarnate, he took on this body for himself. There's nothing inherently bad or sinister or wrong with this fleshly body that we have. We will always be in this body until the day we die. What Paul is talking about is the corruption that came through sin into this world. And so he's talking about the sinful desires that we have, the way that we use our bodies for doing sinful things and corrupt things that ought not to be done. That's what he means by life in the flesh. As human beings, all of us have been infected by sin. We're all part of this universal democracy of sinners. But what Paul is saying is that this sinful, corrupt nature of ours desires to do the works of the flesh. This is our default setting. This is the way that we are born. And the works of the flesh are these. He says it's sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's not an exhaustive list. But you can see where he's going with that. Life in the flesh will be evident by these things. And then Paul says this. He says, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When he's talking about inheritance of the kingdom of God, he's talking about the life to come. So the problem with life in the flesh is that life in the flesh will not help us in the life to come. In fact, life in the flesh will disqualify us from the life to come. That's in the there and then. But what about the here and now? If we live in the flesh in the here and now, we will find that our society will collapse. There will be chaos. Like the Lord of the Flies indicate. Many Christians today would say, we are free in Christ. He has set us free. But Paul warns the church in Galatia not to use their freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. He says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. This is hyperbole. But he's looking at animals that have no understanding and no reasoning and no laws, who just give free rein to their sinful, corrupt natures, and would fight with each other, and they would bite and devour each other until they're both annihilated, until there's nothing left. Paul says, if you give in to the flesh, if you live according to the flesh, this is what's going to happen to you. Now, Truman would never be able to live in such a community. And I would argue that God has not designed us to live in such a community. So what is the problem with life in the flesh? Well, it disqualifies us from the life to come, and in the life here and now, it is no proper life at all. We can't have a society that would fit us in the here and now if we live like that. So, let's look at the solutions. The first solution is living by law. Paul writes to the Galatians earlier on in that same letter, and he says this. He says, why then the law? Have you ever thought of that? Why did God give the law? He says it was added because of transgressions. Because when we don't have the law, what happens? People become lawless. Was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place by an intermediary. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, Paul says, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You see, the guardian is only there temporarily, until the children have grown up to have the full place as sons or daughters in the house. The Judaizers argued that living by law is a solution to the problem of life in the flesh. The Jewish people had done that for 1500 years, and they wanted the Gentile Galatians to live like that too. Paul said, no. Paul said, if you want to live under Torah, then you have to be justified by Torah. You cannot live under Torah and be justified by Christ. If you want to be justified by Christ, if you want to be justified through faith, you have to say goodbye to the Torah. He was not very popular with the Jewish folk because they did not like that. Now, please understand that Paul was not saying that Torah was bad or there's anything wrong with Torah. In fact, he goes out of his way to say how good it is and how helpful it is. But it was there for a time. It was the guardian until Christ came, until faith came, and until we can now be sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ and be filled by His Spirit. Because this is the sign. This is the sign of the new covenant people, is that they'll be filled with the Spirit. The sign of the old covenant was that you be circumcised and you keep Sabbath and you eat certain kosher foods. But in the New Testament, with a new covenant, the sign of God's people is that they are filled with His Spirit. If you are not filled with the Spirit, if you are not born again through the Spirit, you are not a new creation in Christ. You are not part of the new covenant. You are not part of Christ's followers. So Paul stood very, very strongly against these Judaizers when they came and they tried to influence the Galatians. Now this brings us to the question, right? If it's not by flesh, and if it's not by law, then what are we going to do? Professor Gordon Fee says, the law made people religious, but it fails to make them truly righteous in the sense of producing the righteousness of God in their lives. Spirit people do not only want to please God, but they are empowered to do so. The law could teach people what is right and what is wrong, but the law was powerless to empower people to do what they knew was right. One of the things that God has in mind, one of the purposes on His heart, is to make a people for Himself. A people that would live together in harmony. A people who, through the way that they live together, would testify about God's character. The way that they live amongst each other and the way that they relate to God will be a testimony to the character of God. The law was pointing to that, but the law could not make that happen. We get to point number three, the superior solution of living in the Spirit. This is God's empowering presence. He does not empower us to keep the law. No, He empowers us to fulfill the law. Paul is arguing for a third way, not living by law, not living in fleshly abandon, but living by the Spirit. This third way is not a compromise between law and flesh. It's not a middle road between the two different paths. It is a highway above them. And that is what we are called to. Life in the Spirit. Professor Fee says, the Spirit fulfills Torah by leading God's people in the paths of God to live in such a way so as to express the original intent of Torah. What was the intent? To create a people for God's name who bear God's likeness in their character as seen in their behavior. The fruit of the Spirit is none other than the Spirit's producing in our lives the righteousness of God. The righteousness that would characterize God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, the law is there to curb. The law is to fence off. But we don't curb, we don't fence off the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and love, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We don't fence them off. We don't curb them. We don't have to control them. But we can allow them to be freely evident in our lives. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Here's what I believe God has laid on my heart as I looked at this passage. I realized that living by the Spirit is communal. It is not individual. The problem with the flesh and the works of the flesh that Paul is giving us here in this passage are all things that happen in community. the sexual immoralities, the sorceries, the enmity, the strife, the jealousy, the rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. All these things are things that happen in relationships, in a community. And the fruit of the Spirit that Paul is talking about is fruit of the Spirit that is displayed in community. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, all these things are things we do in relation to others. The very first verse of this passage, Paul starts off, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers." For you, the plural you. You'll see that if you look at the Greek. He's using a plural you there. For you, plurally, were called to freedom, brothers, plural. And we know that when he says brothers, he means brothers and sisters. He's speaking to the community, saying this is a message for you as a community. You can choose to live by the flesh, but that's a problem for you. Or you can try and live by the law, and that's also going to be a problem for you. But I'm inviting you, I'm imploring you, I'm exhorting you. Live by the Spirit. Verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit. We know that when he uses that term, walk, it's a Hebrew way of talking about living your life. Live by the Spirit. He says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the thing that struck me as I was looking at this passage, is how communal this is. Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, is not for me as an individual. Brian, what are you doing with your life? It is for me as an individual, part of a community. Brian, how are you living with these brothers and sisters around you? And if you're going to live and walk by the Spirit, it is going to be a third option. It's not going to be trying to fulfill the law. It's not going to be living in a lawless way. It's going to be living in a Christ-like way. As Christ lives amongst his brothers and sisters, as he lives amongst his people. One of the most interesting and fascinating things about our God that I don't fully understand is that he's a triune God. That there is a community within God, even though he is one. And this is his will for us, that we live as a community that would show his character. Live by the Spirit. Because when you live by the Spirit, you will fulfill the law. That which the law is trying to do, what the law is trying to accomplish, that will be done. And more. Because the law can only take you so far. I want you to imagine, if you will, a room. Just a bare room. There's a floor. There's walls. There's a ceiling. The law would represent the floor of that room. How low can you go? Would you go as low as the floor? You don't want to go below that because that's very, very bad. But the law is going to stop people from doing very, very bad things. The law is there to prevent folks from going too low. So if you think about don't murder someone or don't commit adultery, that's what the law is there for, to stop people from doing that. But that's not the best way to live. You don't want to live down there. You want to live up there. So the ceiling is the way of the Spirit. Jesus says, don't even, it's not just about committing adultery with someone, but don't even think lustful thoughts. That's a much higher bar for living our lives. You see, he's at the ceiling. He's not at the floor level. The law is down there, but the Spirit is up there. So when we live by the Spirit, we're not just going to not commit adultery, which is, you know, doing what the law is asking us to do, but we are going to live by the Spirit, which means we are going to love that other person as we love ourselves. So we're not even going to entertain those lustful thoughts. The same with murder. We don't murder. That's the law. We're not going to murder someone. But I'm living between the floor and the ceiling, and I'm saying I'm not even going to think about murder. In fact, I'm not even going to be really, really mad at that other person, because I'm going to love that person as I love myself. Living by the Spirit is living up on the ceiling. It's not living down by the on the floor. If I think about, and I'm going to end, I'm thinking about the children living in our houses. I have kids in my own house, and many of you, if you have children, I want you to think about the difference between your children treating each other, living with each other through laws and rules and regulations, so that they only talk to each other in certain ways and at certain times, and they don't allow each other to come into their rooms, and they don't allow each other to play with their toys, but only in the defined legal sense do they interact with each other. What a sad, sad state of affairs that would be. And as a mom or a dad, I'm sure that will break your heart. I don't have to open this up for you, but you can imagine what God our Father is like when we, as His children, just relate to each other in such a way through the law. But what we want to see with our own kids, we want to see them love each other. We want to see them encourage each other. We want to see them support each other. We want to see them be there for each other through thick and thin, through the highs and the lows. And if we see that, whether we are rich or poor, whether we are healthy or sick, our hearts are singing for joy, because that's such a beautiful thing. Brothers and sisters, Paul tells the Galatians, he says, serve one another through love and live by the Spirit. If we do this, we will cultivate a good and a just community that will display the character of our God and be a light to the nations. Amen.